Hi, and welcome to another one of our little podcasts. Today, we want to talk about something that is a very controversial topic when it comes to what we need to know about faith, because there's a lot of people that teach what's known as a prosperity gospel message. Now, in that prosperity gospel message, the main thing that they kind of focus upon is this idea that as a born-again believer in Christ, you're redeemed from all the curse of the law and are heirs according to all of Abraham's blessings, which includes all of God's promises for prosperity. In fact, it's their main contention that it's God's will for all of his children to prosper. And this is something that is very controversial because it really gets at something of the poverty and how that's to be understood and whether what we're really supposed to be about with the gospel message. And there are certain points that I want to kind of begin with when I go into the catechetical understanding of stuff. Now, when we really get into it, one of the things that they say that kind of goes against it is that a lot of people believe that poverty is a characteristic of humility. In order to be humble, one must be poor. In fact, they kind of look at rich people as not being able to be righteous because they're wealthy. And therefore, a wealthy person could not be considered somebody who was holy and righteous in God's eyes. Yet when they kind of look at the financial blessing that was applied in Scripture, they kind of see it as something that only applies to Jesus, to the Jews. And then they come with this real problematic verse in 3 John, which is 3 John verse 2, where it talks about how we're supposed to be prosperous and in health, just as our soul prospers, which kind of gets into this whole idea of what does it mean to be humble or poor in spirit, as one of the Beatitudes says, and what exactly is the relationship we're supposed to have with money, monetary, and riches, and stuff like that. And for that, I want to first start with some parts from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Because if we look at section 2544 of the Catholic Church, we begin a discussion on what is poverty of heart. And it reads as follows: Jesus enjoins his disciples to prefer him to everything and everyone, and bids them to renounce all that they have for the sake of for his sake and for that of the gospel. Shortly before his passion, he gave the example of a poor widow of Jerusalem who, out of her poverty, gave all that she had to live on. The precept of detachment from riches is obligatory for entrance into the kingdom of heaven. So this is kind of the first thing. One thing I want you to notice is that at the very end of this section, 2544 of the Catechism, it talks about how the precept of detachment from riches is obligatory for entrance into the kingdom of heaven. In fact, if you have an attachment to things of this world, like having a brand new car, $1 million in the bank, a fancy new home, or whatever, you have an attachment to the world that is inordinate. It's not necessarily according to righteousness. It's not something that is supposed to be there. And that's kind of what the whole being poor and being righteous is all about. It's not that money is in itself the evil or the thing that should be shunned, because there are some people that can't have money that are in the church. But it's one of those things to where it's not supposed to be the driving force in your life. In fact, if we look at 1 Timothy 6 verse 10, it tells us that the love of money is at the root of all evil. It's not that money itself is at the root of evil, it's the love of money, because a person can be guilty of loving or coveting money if they don't even have one dime. All you got to do is kind of listen to how people talk about government programs and see how different things relate to different things in social atmospheres where people hate the rich, and it's more of a jealousy to the rich. They want to have that money. In fact, there's kind of this move to socialism in this country that is all about redistribution of wealth and having everybody have everything equally so that nobody has more than enough. And it's kind of that Star Trek reality where there's no money. Everybody's got everything equally. They just do things because they like to do things. They like to fly starships because they like to fly starships. where they like to be Captain Kirk because they like to be Captain Kirk. It's not anything where they have to do it in order to make a paycheck, which is a utopian idea. But it's not the reality that we come out of Scripture. So when we really look at it, we need to understand it's the attachment to riches that is the problem. In fact, if we look at an earlier section of the Catechism, it tells us in section 2403 that the right to private property acquired and received in a just way does not in any way do away with the original gift of the earth to the whole of mankind. The universal destination of goods remains primordial, even if the promotion of the common good requires respect for the right of property and its exercise. So in reality, the idea that you shall not steal is that you shall not be envious of what I have. If I have a fancy brand new car or a nice house or $1 million in the bank or $1 billion in the bank, it shouldn't matter to you. Because the end of it is we're supposed to be good stewards. And this is the point that is made in 2402, where it says, in the beginning, God entrusted the earth and its resources to the common stewardship of humanity, so that all may take care of them, master them by labor and enjoying in their fruits. The goods of creation are destined for the whole of human race. Everybody on human who's human has the right to everything on earth. However, the earth is divided up among men to assure the security of their lives, and endangered by poverty and threatened by violence. The appropriation of property is legitimate for guaranteeing the freedom and dignity of persons and for helping them to meet their basic needs and the needs of those under their care. It should also allow for the national solidarity to develop between men. So there is this ability for us to have and to not be jealous of others who have a better than us, because it's all given to us. And this is kind of where the whole thing comes about into this whole plan. And a lot of people want to look at different things and say, hey, there shouldn't be any kind of prosperity altogether. We should all be broke, or there should be, in the Word of Faith thing, complete abundant prosperity and nobody should be in lack. A lot of this is just going to two ends of the extreme and not really realizing that the focus of Christianity is not what you have and what you get. It's who you have and who you got. The main focus is God. So we need to get back to that as far as all this is concerned. So with this kind of in mind, we can kind of look at the Scriptures and really understand how it is that God uses blessing to make our lives better and really get everything that we need to have out of life as far as our daily needs, and not really get to a point to where we're really focused on a super prosperity gospel or a health gospel that is disproportionate from our really getting into a relationship with God, which is the ultimate blessing we're supposed to be looking at. In fact, a lot of people kind of look at different scriptures and kind of take them out of context to either mean you're supposed to be completely prosperous or not. But when you really look at what it is that we have as far as a blessing from God, it is a little bit different than a lot of people put out. In fact, one of the things, if we look at the book of Job, one of the things that I love from him is a line that he states where in Job chapter 2, verse 10, he states, shouldn't we receive evil or bad things in our lives with the same joy that we receive the good? Because the Lord is the one who gives and the Lord is the one who takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And if we have that understanding, we can really reach where Job at the very end of his trials is stated in Job 42:10, that the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Because even though there were thieves that broke in and stole all of Job's things, and he was in captivity to Satan in the sense that he was cursed even in his flesh, fire came down, burned his crops, a storm came and blew his house down, and his children were killed, and all this stuff, bad stuff happened with him. In the end, God turned that particular situation around and blessed him. So a lot of us need to realize that this is really what's being talked about here, and it's realizing where God is in bad matters. It's not seeing that just because we're poor, broke, and we're about to go homeless or die of cancer or whatever, that we blame God for not being with us in those moments. It's realizing that there is more to what God has for us than what we're actually receiving. And this is the real message of Galatians 3, verses 13, 14, and 29, where we read the following. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs from a tree. That the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now notice this, the promise of the Spirit, not the promise of material blessing, but the promise of the Spirit. And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What promise? The promise of the Spirit. The promise of the Spirit is always that if you abide in Him, He will abide in you. The greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. This is the key to everything. Our relationship with God, that being able to have that beatific vision, that blessed vision of God, is all that matters. That's why we are detached from the world. We're detached from anything that doesn't link us up to God. And when we're linked up to God, we have everything else. We have the abundance. We can be content, which is one of the things that Philippians chapter 4 tells us to do, is to be content with what we have. It's not, you know, being lustful and wanting more than we need, because the Lord supplies all our needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus, as the scripture says. But it's needs. It's not wants that we need to understand. So when we really understand how Christ redeems us from the curse of the law, we need to understand that it's the curse or punishment for breaking God's law that comes in the form of poverty, sickness, and death. Now we know that we are freed from death because of the death of Jesus Christ and all that. But poverty and sickness is a little bit more of a confusing point that a lot of people have, because a lot of people will talk about being redeemed from the curse of poverty and being redeemed from sickness in a way that doesn't necessarily understand or really bring about the truths of these things. We're basically removed from the curse of poverty because of our relationship with God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He provides all that we need. Every day we pray the Our Father, give us this day our daily bread. Everything that we need is daily provided. All of our needs are, as Philippians 4 points out, are provided for us through Christ Jesus, through the great riches of God. So we're not poor. We're not necessarily wealthy. We're not necessarily, you know, billionaire rich. But we're good enough to where we get our bills paid, we get through the day, and that's all that really matters. We're not just, in a sense, paycheck to paycheck. We're a little bit ahead, but we're not really needing to worry about, everything. So we don't have to have millions of dollars in the bank to be free from the curse of poverty. Same thing with the curse of sickness. The curse of sickness, it can be seen, if you really understand the Old Testament, as any time that infirmities limit you from being able to be anything. We live in a great society nowadays where even a paraplegic with certain computer technology can do some amazing jobs. Like Stephen Hawking was a famous physicist who made millions of dollars and wasn't limited by his disability. And we just need to look at other areas where there were other men that had disabilities and other women that had disabilities that didn't prevent them from moving on. Helen Keller, she was born deaf and blind, and she became a teacher, I believe, if I remember my history correct. So it's not being limited by the sickness and not necessarily being healed of that sickness. Of course, the curse of death is the spiritual death that we're saved from by being born again, realizing who we are in Christ Jesus, and also at the end of time from the natural physical death with the resurrection from the dead when Jesus comes again, and there's that resurrection of the body at the end of time, and we forever get to be alive with the Lord, which is our blessed hope. So we don't need to have any fear of death, we have no need to be fear of poverty, and we have no need to be afraid of any kind of sickness, because all things will work together for good for those who are called according to God's purposes. And this is something that we need to see, that When we're looking at Abraham's blessing, there is a truth that Abraham's blessing is a threefold blessing. It relates to material, in a sense, financial blessing, but it also relates to physical blessing and the healing of our bodies and souls, especially at the end of time, and also the spiritual blessing of being saved. And this is why in 3 John 2, it talks about God wanting us to be materially, physically, and spiritually prosperous, because as it says, "Behold, beloved, I wished above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." But notice first, your soul has to prosper before you can prosper and be in health. So it's very important that we understand the order of things to get them right and really get into all this stuff the proper way. And that makes us the children of Abraham in Christ Jesus, not just a Jewish thing. Because as Galatians 3:14 points out, the blessings of Abraham have come on to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. That means you and I. And we can know that we who are of faith are the same children of Abraham. Galatians 3:7. And if we are truly Christians in the sense of truly living out our faith and abiding in Christ and stuff, that we truly are Abraham's seeds and heirs according to the promise. The promise of what? The Spirit. So we have to remember the Spirit comes first before any of this other stuff. If you don't have God at the center of your life, if you aren't really experiencing Him as the vine that you are a branch of, you are out of whack, you are disproportional, and you're not really experiencing the true poverty of spirit that you're supposed to have in order to truly see God, have that beatific vision. Because everything belongs to God and is at His disposal. If you realize that first, then you realize that what you really need in life is God to really have what blesses you at all. As St. Augustine was famous of saying, our hearts are truly restless until they rest in you. Nothing in the world, nothing that we could want mentally, physically, or otherwise, can satisfy us apart from God Himself. This is why you have to really abide in Christ to truly get this. And this is the reality that we have, because we're not looking to own the cattle on a thousand hills. We're looking to have the God who is the owner of the cattle on a thousand hills. In fact, Psalm 50 puts it this way, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and all the livestock upon a thousand hills, because the world is mine and the fullness thereof." This is what he says in Psalm 50, verses 10 and 12, reminding you who owns everything. And in fact, Psalm 24, 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." Now, as we understand, God created everything. He made a human person, Adam, and gave him dominion over everything. God made it for this human person. He made it for all of us. It's a corporate thing if we really look at what the Catechism of the Catholic Church is telling us. And he gave Adam dominion over all the cattle on those thousands of hills, over all the silver and gold, over all the world and its fullness thereof, and therefore gave him what he needed to have to survive. The problem comes in is when we sell out to sin and we try to get it ourselves. We don't trust God, because this is the high treason that Adam committed. He basically, in line with Eve, saw the natural world as the means of which would give him what God was already freely given to him. I liken it this way. A lot of people say that the knowledge of good and evil came with Adam and Eve eating of the tree, or the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The reality is, no, it didn't. The experience of evil and the knowledge thereof came because of it. But the knowledge of what was good and evil was already given to Adam and Eve. For the Lord had already said, don't eat of this tree, because if you do, you'll die. He made it very plain and he made it very clear. And they didn't believe him. They did exactly against what they needed to do. And therefore, as Romans 5:17 tells us, by one man's offense, death reigned by him. And this is why we need to have the Lord Jesus Christ, so that the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by him, who is Jesus Christ. So we need to understand that we can Reign with Christ as co-heirs. We can have dominion in our lives. We can dominate and not be dominated. Circumstances don't have to dominate us. We can really turn everything over to God and realize that everything that is supposed to be is something that is done through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, through whom we have redemption. And it's a redemption that comes in the way of really experiencing what Deuteronomy 28 talks about. Because as Deuteronomy 28 verse 1 and the following says, it shall come to pass that if you hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, you got to have the relationship with the Lord in order for him to be the Lord your God. You can't just be any old person trying to do this. And observe to do all his commandments which he has commanded unto you today, which in our sense is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in his name, and also love one another, because love fulfills all the commandments of God that's ever been set forth. That the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. Basically, you'll stand out among other people because you have a right relationship with God. And all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you, and you shall, if you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. You'll be blessed everywhere. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, your children, the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle. Basically, your labor is going to be blessed as well in your children. Blessed will be your basket and your store. You'll have everything that you need because you have a blessing. It's not necessarily that you have an abundance, too much of an abundance. It just could be just merely enough for you and yours. Blessed shall you be when you come in, blessed shall you be when you go out. Wherever you go, blessing follows you. Blessed shall you be when you come, the Lord shall curse cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before your face. Basically, anything that an enemy does against you will fall to naught. You won't really be falling into any of their snares. The Lord shall command the blessing be upon your storehouses and all that you have. And the Lord will make you very plenteous. I mean, these are the blessings that are in here. And a lot of people see that the first part of these is just basically talking about how the Lord blesses you if you will obey him. He promises to bless your children, your work, everything that you have, protect you in battle, basically make you a person that has an abundance of things. And everything that you set your hand to will prosper, everything you do, because the blessing is all-inclusive, but it is very contingent. It is contingent upon keeping the commandments of God, being a holy people, not straying from him, not seeking after other gods, but serving him with your whole heart, which means you have to be detached from the things of the earth. You can't have a love for $1 million. You can't have a love for a brand new car. Those are the things that get you into trouble. You have to have this poverty of spirit. Because if you truly have it, you can really understand this great blessing and abundance that works. I'm reminded of a Protestant man in England by the name of George Mueller. He basically, in seeing the scriptures about how the Lord would provide all your needs and stuff, basically determined that he was not going to ask for big donations in order to run adoption centers or orphanages in England. And he had six or seven, I think it was seven at the time of his death. And they were always provided for. They always had what they needed. All he did was go to God in prayer. And every now and then you'd see the statement on a quarterly report basically saying, this is what we took in. This is what we're looking to do. And then somehow in between, all the debts were always taken care of. In fact, the day he died, I think he had only $10 in his wallet. And that's what his wife at the time took as her inheritance to live off of from that point forward as the ministry moved forward. But it's a proof that God does take care of his own. And all we have to do is really be obedient, basically have that relationship with him, have a relationship with him with him as a dad, because this is the reality that it is. Because if we truly know who God is and really get into him as God, we'll experience the blessings. This is what Matthew 7:11 is talking about, that if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to you who asked of him? This is the reality that we live in. We have a God that if we put him first, he will take care of us. In fact, that's the whole point of the Old Testament prosperity message, if you will, especially as it's kind of encapsulated in Isaiah 1:19, that if we will be willing and obedient, we shall eat the good of the land. It's not just that we get saved, once saved, always saved, and don't do anything else with our lives for God, but if we really live the gospel, we'll experience this abundance. Does this mean we won't have hardship? No. Does it mean we won't ever get sick? No. Does it mean that we won't have some type of trial that'll test our faith? No, because all those things work together for a good, and it's transforming us, making us more like Him, because we're not basically here hoping that we never get sick. We're not here hoping that we never experience any kind of poverty or setbacks in life, financially or otherwise. We aren't here for anything other than to be true servants of God. Because if we're true servants of God, we'll be hooked up with Him and can really be who we are in Christ Jesus. And this here's really what it's all about, is really understanding that Jesus came to redeem us from the hand of our enemy and to remove us from all the curse of the law as long as we abide in Him and He abides in us. This is really what is the importance that comes out. It's not the whole, you know, it's really not the whole realizing anything other than that. I remember a Word of Faith guy basically putting it into these words of not praying for money anymore, but basically taking authority in the name of Jesus to claim prosperity, because He's already given that dominion to us. But it's really more along the lines of really understanding that God makes a provision for your needs to where you can actually claim those needs in a sense by realizing that your daily bread is to be provided for you and to really see how that happens in your life, because that's really where the gospel message is, realizing that you are more than a conqueror through Him who loves you, and you can stand with Him and truly be what you need to be. And this is where it's all about, just basically getting into this whole thing about really believing in the impossible, because you believe in God and He's there to take care of your needs. So basically you realize that you don't have to worry about sickness, you don't have to worry about poverty, and you don't have to be worried about your eternal fate, because Jesus Christ has ransomed you from all of this. Does this mean we don't pray for these things? Well, we can pray that we receive what we need from God and realize that we reign in life with Christ Jesus if we're truly branches on a vine, and really realize the full blessing of John 3:2, where it says, I wish above all things that you may prosper in being health, even as your soul prospers, because that is what the blessing is. It's a blessing that we have every day of realizing that because we know God, because our soul prospers and we're really branches on the vine, all the rest of it gets taken care of. It doesn't mean that we don't have the struggles, but it means that we see God in the struggles working out a greater thing in our lives. So hopefully this gives you a little bit of a perspective on the whole prosperity gospel message and where it goes wrong, but also really get into an understanding that if you truly know the Lord, if you truly realize who He is and that He is in you, He's the greater one in you that will take care and supply all your needs, because He is a good Father, a Father who will much more give you the good things if you ask Him. So you can ask Him and you can say, Lord, This situation is terrible. It's kind of got me down. I need to have more funds. How am I going to do this with your blessing? And it may be that He opens up a door to a better job than where you were at so that you get paid more money to take care of that. Other times He might send the right person into your path so that, you know, let's say you don't have a car for a while, that they bless you with allowing you to borrow their car while you're still doing the struggle of going to work, coming back from work, and also getting into the other situation of having that vehicle, which thank God there are people like that in the world, and hopefully great blessings still continue to come down on their lives. But it doesn't mean that you're not going to have the struggles. It doesn't mean you're not going to be wondering tomorrow where your bills are going to get met, because that's not the answer. The answer is simply that He supplies all your needs according to His riches and glory. But your soul has to be prospering for the others to be worked out, because if you don't have God, you have nothing. And if you're just trying to have something without having God, or having God for the something, you are incorrect, because you're not detached from the world the way that you ought. And that's what holds you back from true blessing and true prosperity, which is a prosperity of knowing God. Because our eternity is not about having a $1 million mansion or walking on streets of gold. It's about being with God, walking with Jesus, because as he walks with us and talks with us and tells us that we are his own, that's when we truly experience heaven and the glory of God in the face of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So hopefully this gives you a little bit more perspective. I know I kind of rambled a little bit today, but I hope you got something out of this that really helps you understand the true prosperity message of the gospel and really get into that so that you can proclaim his mercy and love for all ages. Thank you, and I hope you have a very blessed day.